Blog Talk Radio.
And hey, let us run some people for all time. From every tribe and language, people, every nation. Where warriors have fallen, there's a resurrection coming.
It is your time to rise and shine.
Oh, wake up, you sleeping giant.
The wounds of injustice are being healed by the peace.
Hey. Oh, yeah,
away. Bringing us power through unity.
Hey.
Where warriors have fallen, there's a resurrection coming.
Today I'm on my phone in the studio, but at least I'm connected thanks to cell phones. What would we do without cell phones? I don't know. I'm trying to go live on Facebook, so I'm going to play one more time if I can get to Becca Shea, so that I can try and get live on. Becca Shea is still playing. Okay, that's interesting. So things are kind of weird tonight, but I think Becca Shea is still playing, but I don't know how. So I'm going to try that again and see if that works here on this. Okay, here we go. One more time.
And hey, let us run some people for all time. From every tribe and language, people, every nation. Where warriors have fallen, there's a resurrection coming.
It is your time to rise and shine.
Oh, wake up, you sleeping giant.
The wounds of injustice. the peace of Yahweh. We're bringing us power through unity. We're warriors of fallen. There's a resurrection coming.
Troubles come alive.
Yeah, wake up, you sleeping giant.
Your heart.
Joining me this morning. It's actually evening. Well, it's morning in some parts of the earth. So wherever you are, welcome and thank you for joining me. I'd like to start this show off with a little meditation and breathing. I was on this awesome meditation call just a few, half an hour ago, and it was just so relaxing and so invigorating on many levels. So I want to start out tonight just doing some breathing and meditation, just a couple of minutes to help us stay focused. These are such trying times that I think all of us should be really practicing more deep breathing, more meditation. So it seems appropriate to start Soul Purpose Healing. Who's that? Great drumbeat. Hi, Jody. Thank you, drumbeat. I love my drumbeat. It's a heartbeat going. Keep that heartbeat going. Many people right now, their heartbeats have stopped on planet Earth. And so it's so important for us to motivate, inspire, for everybody to keep that heartbeat going and the heartbeat of our creator universe, the heartbeat of the universe, because the heartbeat of the universe never stops. So we can get in tune and in touch with that rhythm of the solar energy cosmos, and I think we're going to survive all this madness that we're seeing on planet Earth right now. And it's part of the transition from third dimension, fourth dimension, fifth dimension. It's so important on soul purpose healing that we keep a higher perspective these days. We cannot afford to stay on the lower vibration plane of consciousness. And here's my chart for those of you watching. This is my favorite map of consciousness chart from the Institute for Spiritual Research. This was put together by Dr. David Hawkins, who I read his meditation book every day. And as I was telling a client today, it's your goal to stay in the blue zone. The blue zone is where there's life and a strong heartbeat. This zone down here is where a lot of people are right now, and that means inflammation. Inflammation. The red zone is fear, guilt, apathy, grief, shame, regret, despair, blame, humiliation, and anxiety. So our goal tonight is to raise your frequency, raise your vibration into the blue zone, where there is ineffable bliss, peace, enlightenment, joy, love, reason, and acceptance, and willingness, forgiveness, optimism. Oh, my goodness, I need some optimism every day, and so from my breath. So let us take a moment to just do some deep breathing, and I'm going to try and find a beautiful I Am Love song just before we start off with the power of crystals, stones, and organized. I have this beautiful soul, Shauna Jackson's going to join me within the hour, but she's on her way traveling from Tampa, but she'll be here to talk about her amazing journey with stones, crystals, and organized. Her father actually introduced her to stones, which is when I met this young lady in Orlando last Sunday at the Earth Day celebration. I listened to her story, and what really caught my attention was that her father mines for these stones, and he's been a part of this journey for her to have this business of these amazing organites and crystals and stones and promoting. Oh, my God, I said, you got to be on my show. So it was one of those moments where I was just grateful, the beautiful weather, the people were beautiful, and it was one of those optimistic moments where, like, well, yes, yes, I'm connecting with people on this planet who are awake and they're doing creative, wonderful things, helping us all to heal and focus, focus, focus. Stop being distracted. I have had new floaters in my left eye, and I realized the spiritual message a few weeks back when the spirit said, those floaters are a temporary distraction. And they certainly are, because as your vision keeps seeing these fibers moving back and forth, said that's a temporary distraction and your goal is to focus anyway. I don't like these fibers in my vision. I really don't. I don't like these fibers floating around. For a while it was little black dots too, but the black dots have gone away somewhat. And it's just these little round fibers floating everywhere. And spirit said, okay, they're temporary, but they're a distraction. And that's where we are today. We have this temporary distraction. Our goal is to focus, focus, focus on the higher, higher things, higher purpose, and what we're here to do. So today we're going to talk about power. The power we all need, and it's for our guest. She's going to talk about crystal stones and organites. And before my guest shows up and after we do the meditation, and I cannot see, I don't know what's going on, so I think Naima, heartbeat of the universe, yes. Naima, you're going to have, if Naima, if you're listening, you're going to have to show me a comment on Facebook Live when it's time for commercial, because I'm on my studio. It's on the phone tonight instead of my laptop. My laptop just went crazy today. So I've had headaches. Laptop went crazy. I'm like, okay, something's going on in the atmosphere of the cosmos. Anyway, So after we meditate, I would love to go into the power of knowledge. Before my guest comes, I wrote down a few notes to talk about the power of knowledge. We're going to talk about the power of crystals and stones and organized later. But after our meditation, we want to talk about the power of knowledge. And the knowledge particularly, I want to mention, number one, divorce, which has been a lot of conversation around that. I was driving for 2 hours yesterday with my 40-year-old son and my two grandchildren in the back. And my son and I have these amazing conversations now. We talk about facts and everything. He's 40, I'm 66. We talk about everything now, which is so beautiful to me that this soul that came out of my womb is now having discussions with me on every level. So he's been through a divorce now. He's been divorced for almost 3 years now. And we had a conversation about divorce that I want to share with you, because in that conversation, me talking about a divorce after 30-some years, 38 years, I forget, and him talking about a divorce after 6 years, wow, blew my mind. But what came out of it was the power of divorce. So that's what I'm going to share with you after our meditation. Let me see if I can get some music to go with our meditation. How about Born of Water? Let's do Born of Water, and we're going to do some breathing to Born of Water. I think that'll work. Or I am, let's see, I have another one, I am something, I can't remember what it is. But I want to just take this time, because so many people are suffering, I want to just take this time to breathe in this show, because I'm going to share some things that might make some people uncomfortable, might trigger some people, I don't know what's going to happen. But I feel led to say we need to do some moments fully, no distractions other than floaters. If you got floaters in your eyes, I can't help you. But that's a distraction that will be temporary, and we have to focus anyway. And that's what my whole intention every day is, to focus the distractions in my eyes and all the other distractions everywhere in the news, and everyone got so many distractions. But focus on you to love Shauna Jackson's story. Oh, my goodness, she's an awesome soul on this planet, came to teach us about her journey with her father and so forth. So Born of Water, it's a three-minute meditation. So please get comfortable. If you want, close your eyes. Don't go to sleep. I was in a half-hour meditation. It got so relaxing, I was actually going to sleep. And that was like half hour before my show, so I had to get out of that meditation. And I said, we need to do a little bit of that. So Born of Water, let's close our eyes and just breathe in and out through our nose and out our mouth, or nose, out of our nose. Born of Water, cleansed and powerful. I am. What is that?
Born of water, cleansing, powerful, healing. Let it go. All right. Let's open up our eyes. Take in that truth of I am born of water. And it's so appropriate that meditation or song, because tonight we're going to talk about the power of crystals, stones, and organites. Liquid crystals. On Friday, we talked about we are liquid crystals. So that song, that meditation says, am born of liquid crystals. In the mother's womb, our creator put together this liquid crystal vessel. Isn't that awesome to think about? That this vessel of the soul, this body, this computer, biological computer, of which many computers made by man, they use crystals to operate these machines. But nothing compares to this vessel of liquid crystal. So we are born of water. I am cleansed and powerful. If we take on those words with all our heart, I am born of water, cleansed and powerful, full of power, healing, changing, I am. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And Naima, please send me a message on Facebook when you're ready to do the sponsor of the audio, because I can't see anything on my phone but the studio. I'm afraid to even leave my studio, or I might lose it. There's a lot to get to it. So thank you for joining me. And we're going to talk about when my guest comes on, she's going to talk about the power of crystals, stones, and organites. But I'd like to open up the discussion for you listeners and viewers about the power of divorce to start. Because my 40-year-old son and I, if you're just joining us, my 40-year-old son and I were having a discussion. We have an hour ride to this beautiful beach and then an hour ride home. And on that ride, my son and I just connect. Mom and son connecting in some powerful ways. He's my oldest child. He's my oldest son, Messenger now, who I just gave birth to. Okay, Naima's having problems with her computer. This must be a night for computer problems. My computer wouldn't come up at all. So thank goodness I'm on my tablet and my phone. Well, hallelujah for tablets and phones. We need this technology. But talking about my son and I connecting, and the conversation was on divorce. It's like Spirit said, talk about divorce. So we did for almost 2 hours, hour going and hour back. Once we got to the beach, it was all conversations about grandchildren learning how to surf on their little new styrofoam surfboard. And my granddaughter had a wonderful time. Grandson was a little fearful. He's only four. But the engagement with my granddaughter, teaching her how to ride on the surfboard was awesome. But and even in the car, as my son were having the conversation, they were wide awake going. They fell asleep going home. But my granddaughter, we were talking, and then my granddaughter asked us a question about what we were talking about. We were like, okay, we better be quiet, because she's like, her little ears are paying attention to what we're talking about. But on the way home, we could talk about any. We talked about sex and everything on the way home. But divorce, the power of divorce, that's what has come to me since that conversation with my son. Because divorce, and then Ayanla Van Zandt, I was listening to her this morning, conversation she had on the show, what is it? Okay, what's the name of the show? Gotta go. Okay. On the Breakfast Club. She was on the Breakfast Club talking to Charlamagne and all those people. You probably know if you watch the Breakfast Club. So the conversation came to the idea, Angela Yee, I think her name is, Angela Yee asked a question about commitments and relationships. And boy, Ayanna, in her usual queenly royal self energy, just answered the question so beautifully about boundaries and how individual sovereignty and home and the fear, tool of the ego, familiarity, control. But the key to the question about divorce was this: what agreements and commitments have been broken? Okay. And that's what my son and I discussed in talking about the power of divorce. Divorce can be healing, changing, and bring you to the place of I am powerful. I am cleansed and powerful. Because what can happen in a marriage, as my son and I discussed, was that you become this fearful, argumentative person, being connected to this other person, attached, if you will, and when conflict arises, trying to resolve the conflict and struggling with personalities that you weren't aware of. My son was in a marriage for 6 years, and the last three, and I think he would be okay with me sharing this, but the last 3 years of his marriage, there was no intimacy. So that became a big problem for him and the wife, because what men usually do if there's no intimacy, some men will cheat on the woman and find another woman. My son didn't do that. He cheated online. You know what I'm talking about, online. So when men go cheating online and then there's a spouse that doesn't wants to control even that too. So you got all this control of a spouse in a marriage, and the power of divorce is realizing that the original commitment, the original agreement and commitment that you made in that marriage disappears somehow. It becomes fractured. It becomes an issue of integrity and honesty and violation of the agreement and commitment. And that's what my son and his wife were. She and we were talking about what happened in that marriage, that the agreement that you make at the altar and the commitment that you make at the altar changes. So most of us go to the altar. Do you take this man to be your wedded husband? Do you take this woman to be your wedded wife? Till death do you part? And all those words that are saying, if you don't write your own vows, those words become totally meaningless at some point. Because guess what? We're all here to evolve, right? So the evolution process, being in a marriage, the creator is laughing at you, right? It's like you're in this relationship with this man and you went to the altar, you said I do, and now you got children, okay? Some of us had children. In my son's case, he had two children. It's like 2 years into the marriage, two children, 4 years into the marriage, two children, and now the adults don't get along very well. Because guess what? They're evolving in some way, shape, or form. Usually one part or the other is becoming their own self. In my case, I was growing tremendously in this relationship and realizing that the pain in my right hip was not physical at all. I had pain for most of my marriage. I had this pain in my right hip. I went to all kinds of x-rays, sonograms, monograms, whatever. I did so much medical tests and treatments to figure out why is my right hip hurting. And it was like so long of medical experiment or tests and x-rays and all that, realized my right hip's hurting because this male energy that you live with, sleep with, not too harmonious to who you really are. Remember, I am healing, powerful. I am born of water, cleansed and powerful, healing I am, healing, changing I am. So in a marriage, we're all changing usually. After, in my case, 38 years of marriage, I had changed immensely. No more doing drugs, no more partying late at night, no more wine, no more partying, no more adulterous affairs, none of that. I was changing greatly just for survival. And so when you realize that you're changing so fast and transforming at the same time, this is what was happening to me. I was transforming, changing, letting go of addictions, letting go of this, letting go of that. And my spouse was not, I'm not changing at all. I'm staying right where I am. I love my food. I'm going to become more addicted to my food. And I'm loving this and I'm enjoying it. I don't want to talk to you when I'm having dinner, so you can forget about any changes here, okay? And that's what happened with my son and his relationship too. No change on the spouse. I'm not changing. I don't need to change. I'm perfect. That's the attitude we have with a lot of spouses, is that they don't feel they need to change when a conflict occurs, when a person is struggling in the relationship, when a person even has to violate the agreement or the commitment. We make this so-called agreement and commitment at the altar, and then do we talk about it much after that? Eh, you're my husband, I'm your wife, let's just do what I say, that kind of attitude. And then the marriage moves on and moves on. And there's a power of divorce hanging in the air. But for my son, it was like he wasn't really thinking of divorce because his wife didn't want to sleep with him or whatever. He wasn't thinking about separating. He wanted to work it out. He wanted her to come onto his side. He wanted her to think about him more and less of himself. He wanted to compromise. He wanted to work it out. He was just hoping that she would want to work it out. Not happening. Because when you think there's nothing wrong with you, you're not going to want to work anything out. When you have a spouse in the relationship who wants to control everything, including you, there's not going to be working out anything. I went to counseling sessions with my spouse at some point because I tried to divorce him one time. That didn't work. Okay, Naima just lost her signal. Now she's trying to connect again. So let me know when you're ready for commercials, Naima. And so this marriage is like really challenging and stressed. That was my right hip pain was stressed, okay? So all that stress after 30-some years, and people ask, why did you stay in that marriage that long? My husband worked for an airlines. I think most of you have heard this story. We traveled a lot and free, no-cost travel. That helped the marriage stay together, believe me, because when you're exploring other countries, other cities, I went all the way to Australia, China, Israel, I've been everywhere. I don't have a need to travel anymore. They want to do passports and that kind of thing. Do your thing. I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying right here. So at some point, though, the pain in the hip gets to you. But the divorce, the power of divorce is when synchronicity takes over. Mama AZ, are you listening? James Redfield wrote a book called The Celestine Prophecy. So when you get into things like that, and I got into the Celestine prophecies near the end of my marriage, my 30-some year marriage, and the Celestine prophecy talked about synchronicity, those events and circumstances that happen that there's no coincidence. You're like, you know, this is divine, and it's ordained just for you. And you could have that happen once or twice, and then you realize this is no coincidence. This is no coincidence. I better pay attention. And my moment came 30,000 feet up in the air in an airplane when my husband and I were in separate bedrooms at that point. I think I had been in a separate bedroom for almost a year at that point. And we were just going along as usual. My right hip, I was just oiling it with peppermint oil and just dealing with it. You know, I have to stay in this marriage because even though I'm not happy and there's no conversation, and that's where my son was too. We were comparing notes in our drive. And I'm on an airplane coming back from a visit in San Francisco, going back to Florida. And I waited and waited, standby, to get on this plane because I didn't pay anything. So you got to sit in the wait in the room, and you got to sit outside the plane until they call your name that you can get on the plane, and it's free or whatever. I was the last person on the plane. Last person. I've had many moments like that going standby. Sitting in there, waiting again, hoping and praying. You don't have to sit here through another 2 hours, wait for another plane. Finally, I got on the plane. Last person on the plane. I'm sitting the first row behind first class, and I'm sitting next to a guy here and another guy here. Lo and behold, 30,000 feet up in the air, I discovered this guy is a very famous divorce, Jewish divorce attorney sitting next to me. And when I discovered that 30-some years into my marriage, I'm sitting next to a divorce attorney. I'm not happy with my – I look up and say, okay, you set this up. That was synchronicity, powerful synchronicity for me. I looked up and said, you set this up. You set this up. And I discovered later that this man, this Jewish attorney and his wife go back and forth from Orlando to San Francisco to see their son and grandchildren every week. What's the coincidence of me being on that plane at the same time, divorce attorney who travels every week going back and forth, is sitting next to me, and I'm the last person on the plane. That's the synchronicity that woke me up to, I think it's time for a divorce. Wow, I don't want to do that, but that's the sign. That's the clear sign. So he talked to me for 3 hours, showing me pictures of his grandchildren, blah, 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 telling me how much I could give out for my husband's pension, blah, blah, blah. I'm like still going, you set this up, you set this up, you set this up. And soon, so after I get home, I say to my husband when I got home, I said, you guess who was sitting next to me on the airplane? And he looked at me and said, who? Anger, because he was angry. I was in another bedroom, so he stayed angry most of the time. I said, a divorce attorney. And we looked at each other, and I said, it's time for us to go our separate ways. And he said, okay, I'm going to call my attorney. That was the beginning of the most peaceful divorce anybody could ever imagine. We put the house on the market. We sold the house. I got out of the marriage. We went our separate ways. I ended up in a tiny house for 5 years, finding total bliss and peace. So that's what my son and I were talking about. And on the other hand, he and his wife did a different way, but the divorce for both of us took us to a new level of evolution. Because my son is now meditating. He was an alcoholic at one time with his wife. All this dysfunction was going on. Since that divorce, he's evolved in some amazing ways. I've evolved in some amazing ways. So nothing but gratitude. Gratitude, gratitude. I don't know if Naima's trying to get in. Let me just check Naima. Okay, Naima, your mic is open. Are you ready for commercials? I have no idea what time it is. So, Naima, are you there? So that's the power of divorce. The power of divorce is that when you are breaking your agreement and your commitment with that person, whether it's adultery or playing around or whatever, pornography, adultery, when you break that agreement and commitment, then as Jan Van Zandt said, if you went into a monogamous agreement and then several years later you decide, you want more than one wife, whatever, that means you break the agreement and the commitment, and it's a question of integrity and honesty. And I realized, still can't pull up the switchboard. Okay, text me at 9, your time, let you know if I'm there. Okay, great. Naima and I are communicating, like executive producers in the studio. So when you break the agreement of a monogamous relationship, that's when you have to ask yourself, are you being a person of integrity and honesty? And I had to admit to my son, I wasn't a woman of integrity at all. I wasn't being honest with my husband. Most of our marriage, I wasn't integrity or honesty at all. So when you violate the agreement and the commitment to a monogamous agreement at the altar, death till death do us part, all that, it's an awakening. It's an evolution to come to a realization that it's time for you to think about that divorce carrot, okay, for peace, for evolution further beyond the dishonesty and the lack of integrity. That's what it amounts to in my case especially. I was in a relationship with a man where there was no, he was in all integrity, all honesty. In fact, that's why I respect the man I married so very much, because he demonstrated integrity and honesty like no other man I had ever known, except my dad. My dad was that way. My dad paid alimony to my mother till her death, and he was on his third marriage. But he always paid her alimony because that was his commitment. He was honest. Integrity. Integrity, in my mind, was my dad paying my mother alimony until she died, even though he was married to another woman, because he said he would. In the divorce payment, in the divorce papers, he said he would pay her money until she married again. She never married again. So he paid that alimony. That was my dad is my hero. I don't think any man's going to match him, actually. But that's why I wrote a book about my dad. And that's why, to this day, he's my number one hero, because he was a man of integrity and honesty. And that's what I respect more than anything. And any man, integrity and honesty. And that's what my son has learned to respect in women. And at 40 years old, he's a whole different generation. And I'm waiting for my guest. I'm looking for her in the studio. And so let me just check. Shauna, when you show up in the studio, be sure and press 1, and I'll open up your mic. But we're talking about right now the power of divorce, because that's what came to me for 2 hours discussing that, and then my son and I. And then we want to encourage all of you to look at divorce as powerful. It brings the power of healing and changing. When you've been in a relationship where you've broken the monogamous agreement, where your integrity and honesty is in question, you have a chance in divorce to start all over again. Because if you have been dishonest and lost integrity with your spouse, that's what happened to me. I lost respect with my spouse, even though he wanted to continue the marriage because of the sex. He didn't care. I did. I became very conscious about integrity and honesty, and I had a lot of guilt. I think, you know, now that I think about that, right hip was a lot of guilt about my marriage and being dishonest and not a woman of integrity. And so the divorce is very powerful when you can't heal that relationship in a way that will help both parties evolve. If both of you are not evolving, then it's not going to last anyway. You know what I mean? So the power of divorce is that, as we said, I am born of water. I'm born of a crystal. And that's what our guest is going to be talking about, the power of that crystal, not just in the organite and the stones and the beautiful stones that you wear, but the power of the crystal, the water crystal, the liquid crystal inside of us that wakes up at the time 30,000 feet in an airplane or sitting by a tree, sitting by the lake, whenever. It's just wake up, though. Wake up to your level of dishonesty, your level of not being in a commitment, of not being true to your commitment, and realizing that divorce is an opportunity to start over again. And stop kidding yourself that you're being honest or something. And waiting for, as my son was doing, waiting for his wife to change, waiting and waiting, going to help him, let's go to counseling, we can change, you can come around to my side. No, I can't come around your side because there's nothing wrong with me. And that was my son's story. It was like, we had the most awesome time discussing the power of divorce. Because now, when he looks at women in his dating apps or whatever, when the divorce is over, you start being your true self. You have an opportunity to be your true self with someone new who is more in harmony and lining up with who you really are, if you stop the dishonesty and the lack of it. When you violate the agreement and the commitment, as Ayanna Van Zandt said, then that relationship is not going to be one cleansing, healing, and changing. And that's what we're here to do. We are here to heal, cleanse, and change on this journey on Mother Earth. So let me just stop for a moment and say a prayer for India. which is going through a challenge right now. They're going through a challenge. The divorce, I wanted to say something about divorce on not just the female-male level, but the divorce on from things in your life that are no longer serving you. There are times when we need to divorce from the types of lifestyle we've had, divorcing from the energy that we've been in. All kinds of divorce come along, or opportunities to separate, move away from. So, yes, Jody says, Jody asks, isn't violating an agreement more than cheating sexually on a spouse? What about daily agreements? Absolutely. Thank you, Jody. Thank you, Jody. And that's where I can say honestly, that's where I was in my integrity, just violating daily agreements. You know, my spouse would say, well, what time are you going to be home? And I would say, oh, I'll be home around 7. I'd come in the door at 8 o'clock. And he'd say, I thought you were going to be here at 7. I'm like, well, what's the big deal? I'm here. Oh, well. And that went on over and over with me. That was my lack of integrity. So thank you, Joe. It's a daily, not just the agreement at the altar. Hello. Thank you. It's not just the agreement we make at the altar, the commitment at the altar, but it's the daily commitments of keeping our word. Integrity is about keeping your word, saying that you're going to do something and then you do it. And my son was really good about that, keeping his word, because he learned from his dad. His dad was the king of integrity, king of commitments and keeping them. And my dad, my son who now divorced, has learned from his mother and his father on different levels about different things. Yes, Jody Sandwich, she thinks we lose psychological safety when we don't keep our word. Well, I think that when you say psychological safety, how about guilt? At some point, your brain, you're thinking about how guilty you are, and then you can go into shame. So, yeah, your psychological, your mental energy. Remember, the born of water, being born of a crystal, of a water crystal, this liquid energy flowing through us, is about keeping the vibration. This, remember my chart of consciousness, the map of consciousness. Jody says, yes, we live in guilt and shame. So, yes, when we are stuck in a relationship, a commitment. Let's say we're stuck in a commitment we made 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and yet we are not keeping the integrity and honesty level high. We get into guilt and shame eventually, because that's where we have to hide in the fear of being exposed. And then the tool of the ego. You know, your ego can't admit that you're not a person of integrity and honesty, right? So we, the power of divorce is to get out of that guilt and shame, divorcing yourself from the energy that's keeping you in low vibrant, low frequency. This is the low frequency, the red zone of fear, grief, apathy, guilt, shame, anxiety, regret, despair. But, and that is where there's no power there. There's no power. We are now experiencing on Mother Earth all this fear and even guilt and shame because many people have not been taking good care of themselves and getting out of this lack of self-care, self-empowerment, healing, cleansing. And so the ego has been really massaged, which is the fear that we've been holding on to. The ego massages the fear. Yeah, be afraid, be afraid. You don't have to do what they tell. You don't have to do that, what that person says. You don't have to do that. Just be afraid. Be afraid. Be afraid. And the ego always gets in the way. When you let go of ego, hallelujah, relationships change. But some people are stuck in their ego. My son's wife, my ex-husband, big ego. So they were not going to change. You either tolerate the ego and the control. You learn to tolerate, enable it. I love that. My dad and his wife, big egos, and his wife, he was the empath. I've seen so many ego empath relationships in my clients, in my relatives. I'm really in touch now with the huge ego. and what that does in a relationship when one person wants to grow, one person wants a loving, healing relationship, and yet the ego gets in the way. So the ego is all about, let me just talk about the power of the ego for a moment, because that's been, along with the power of divorce to heal the relationship, where the power of the ego is the struggle, there is the power. The ego is all about survival, is what I've learned. The ego wants to survive the trauma of the childhood, the shame of the childhood. And so it puts up a barrier that I am not going to let my emotions get in the way. I am going to be in a place of shame, guilt, fear, control. The ego wants to control everything. And if you are the person in the relationship that they want to control, you're going to experience a lot of hell and discomfort because they're not going to change. Someone with a big ego, depending on how where they are on the spectrum of narcissism and ego power, if they're on the extreme psychopathic end, you're not going to change them. Just get used to it. It's hard for some of my clients to realize they're not going to change the big ego. They're not going to change the big ego and the narcissistic strength. It's going to be a real struggle. So you either get used to enabling them, controlling them, and then they shrink to this little mouse that does what you say and has no honesty, no integrity. Because once you realize who you really are, like I did and my son did, you're not afraid of the ego anymore. You'd rather be just free of the ego and live your life, and there's no fear. Because a lot of times when we stay in relationships where there's a big ego and you're the one who has no integrity and honesty about the whole thing, then there's going to be struggle, and then drama, and shame, and that power of the ego can destroy a person's soul. That's how I've seen their soul gets destroyed, the heart gets weakened. So it's powerful ego. Recognize that the ego divorce that could free you like it did my son and myself. And that's what the struggle is a lot of time, is that ego. And as Jody says, fear gets in the way, fear of sharing what you need, say, because your ex would not let you. And it's not even about, to me, it's not even about the ex allowing you. It's about you taking back your sovereign power. And that's where the fear is. You're afraid if you take back your sovereign power. Like when I got off that plane, I was so powerful. I was like, okay, just give me the strength to go in here and tell my husband it's time for divorce. But boom, it happened. When I took control back and said, I can't take this relationship anymore, I'm done. And when I took that control back and stepped into my sovereign power, boom, divine energy came in, worked out the divorce, sell of the house, everything worked so smoothly. But the universe is waiting for us, especially today, to take back our sovereign power of who am I. And I don't even have to wait for my spouse to allow me to come back and to be who I am. I have to change and ask, do I need a divorce from this relationship? Do I need to get back into who I really am? Or am I still afraid that I'm going to wound my husband, that he's going to wound his ego? That's the ego is involved on the one hand, and then the sovereignty on the question of can I rise in my sovereignty, my power, be who I am without criticism, without ridicule, without abuse. Yes, I did it. But it took me 30,000. I had to go high. I had to go 30,000 feet in the air so that the Creator could show me the power of going high to come low and then get the divorce. And not divorced from my Creator, but divorced from the energy of another person that was keeping me, holding me back from being my sovereign self. So we have the caller. Let me go to the phone, and if I can, I don't know if I can get to the phones or not. There's a light on, but okay. Here we go. 77. Okay, somebody just dropped off. I opened up the mic, so if they come back on, press 1 again, 773. I've got to look for my guest. Naima's still having computer trouble. So if you have a question or a comment, the number is 215-383-5863. We're going to be talking with Shauna Jackson, and I met Shauna at the Earth Day celebration, and she's going to come on and talk about the power of, let's see, let me see if she's in the studio. Okay, she's not in the studio yet. Let me see. I'm going to check her number. Okay, and see if she's in the studio real quick. Let's see. 407-715-5724. Okay, let me send her a message to let her know we're waiting for her. And I'm going to play, we're going to take a little music break because I want to do some more breathing. While we're waiting for Naima's computer, we're going to do some breathing. Because after this session I had, after this breathing, I realized how calming that was for me. Oh, my goodness, it was like heavenly. So I want to get back into some breathing music so we can stay calm throughout this journey we're on called the Corona Adventure. That's what it is. 312-849. Actually, I have this teaching on the 407. My guest is in the studio, so I'm going to bring her in. Okay, is this Shauna Jackson?
This is. How are you?
I am wonderful, Shauna. I'm glad you are made it. Where are you still driving?
Yes, we are driving back from Tampa right now, so I apologize if I am in and out. There are some spots where my service isn't the best.
No problem. We'll be very patient. We're learning a lot of patience these days. You know how a Corona Adventure developing a lot of patience with people. So I'm just glad to have
you. Yes, if nothing else, we've all learned patience.
I was telling my audience that Shauna Jackson is with us. For those of you who just joined us, I met Shauna Jackson at the Earth Day celebration at Lake Eola. And I was telling my audience, I was so impressed to hear you say your father was actually a very strong influence in you developing those awesome crystal organite jewelry and all that. So can you tell us a little bit about your family background? Because I would love to really, and I want my guests to really see the relationship that you developed from maybe from childhood with your father that has kept you going in this very positive direction to teach us about the power of crystals and stones and organite. So thank you, Shauna, for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. So my background with my family, I guess my father and his side of the family lives over in Washington State, Oregon, Idaho, over on that side. And we actually weren't very close when I was growing up because him and my mother weren't together when I was younger. So we kind of had a long-distance relationship. But over time, as I had children, he really came to life and really started being really active in all of our lives. And we really bonded over the crystals and the things that he would mine. And it became a very personal thing to us, and he would send the kids and I a lot of stones that he would find. Sometimes he would find specks of gold as well, and it really became a great opportunity for us to connect.
Wow, that's awesome. So when you had your own children is when he became more interested in having a relationship with you, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so how many siblings did you have?
I have one older brother. He lives out in North Carolina.
Okay, so is your brother, does he do any work with crystals and stones, or is it just you?
He does not. He works at a car dealership up there. It is really myself and my boyfriend, and then we have five kids. ourselves. So it's very, our business, Do It Vegan, is very family-owned, operated, and local.
You have 5 children?
They're mine. We're a blended family, and my boyfriend has 1.
Wow, that is so awesome. Oh, wow. I love that. So tell us about how you first started getting into organized, because I experimented with organized about, let's see, 2 or 3 years ago. I went to Michael's, and I used a lot of coupons to get the liquid and to start it off, and I thought this is the most fascinating. And it took a lot of courage just to go take on that project, because, as I'm sure as you know, there's a lot of detail in it. And I learned, you know what I learned, Shauna, was how to collect all the materials that I needed. Like, I lived near a gun range. The landowner that I was on had a gun range. So once I learned about the different metals that you could use for your organite, I was walking one day near the gun range, and I saw all this brass bullet holders. I'm like, oh, wow, that would make a good organite. So I gathered up all the brass. I had tons of it. I was actually trading them at the local hardware store for other things, and so for key shavings, you know, the shavings at the Ace Hardware, mm-hmm. when they made keys, I would take him bullet casings, and he would give me a bag full of key shavings. So,
that's a great relationship.
I even got sand because I looked at the crystal. So anyway, the joy of just finding materials to put in this beautiful organite was my adventure. And so now I haven't made anything new, but I'm so glad I ran into you and yours, because yours are definitely very professional. So tell us about the art of making these organites, because you were saying that there really is a difference in the way you make yours and the way the average inexperienced person does it. So how is it? Give us a really good education maybe on how yours differ from other unprofessionals.
Well, I think it depends on why you're getting into it. So I think a lot of organite out there is really just made to be aesthetically pleasing, right? So
right.
You can see this beautiful pyramid, and it might have a variety of flowers and colors and things in it of the sort. However, it's not a true organite without certain aspects in it. So, for example, organite has to have an organic compound, which is where the resin comes in. Resin is the organic part, which attracts and allows the energy to flow through it. But you really need metal, like you were saying. The metal is really the key, because that is the inorganic material that allows all of the frequencies, the vibrations, everything to come together to then release all of the positive frequencies. So if you are just making these beautiful pyramids without at least a large quantity or percentage being metal, then it's not really doing or serving its purpose. So crystals,
yeah.
Though they are helpful and beautiful, they are not really the main source or ingredient in the organite that gives it its power. It's really the resin and the metal, and then along with the crystals as well. But
what's the resin material then? I didn't realize the resin was more important than crystal. So what is the resin actually made? That's the liquid, right, that molds the pyramid, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what is
makes
it so important?
So if you think about, like, solid material, right, so everything has a frequency. The ability of the resin, that organic material, to condense all of those metal elements and those crystal elements together, with it being that organic material, that natural material, allows and absorbs all of those negative charges. So in today, you're surrounded with a lot of negative frequencies. I mean, we have Wi-Fi everywhere, cell phones, towers. It's just surrounding us, not even including the negativity just from the people around you. So having the ability to really harness that, to bring that material into a certain device is what organite is it's actually a device. And it allows you to absorb all of those materials, and then with the metal and the crystal, send out those positive frequencies, because once that energy is inside of the organite, it provides this frequency that turns those low frequencies, those negative energies, into a higher frequency. And with the pyramid shape, it almost shoots out of the top and provides a much more direct and amplified positive energy source.
Wow. Okay, so do you know the history of Wilhelm, what's his name, who actually started? I was really surprised when I first started studying him about how it's connected to orgasm. Is that what your knowledge is?
Yes, so that's actually how he started. He started with basically people having a suppressed sexual energy. And he wanted to provide something to because he thinks or thought, obviously, that suppressed energy was toxic to our bodies, toxic to our nervous system specifically. And so that's kind of where he started, was with the sexual energy. And then he created orgonomy, which then led him to create orgonite and those chambers that you could sit inside of. And then he got imprisoned because it went against the FDA and the general medicine studies.
And that's these days, that's when you know you're on the right track, when the FDA and the CACC
right.
and all the orthodox medical people that, that's horrible. You need to take that out. You got to suppress that. We got to compress. I got to get rid of it. Put them in jail. That's a good way to suppress it. Hey, you're still here. Didn't die, though. Isn't that something? Because truth will outlive.
Right, and it is. It's unfortunate. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. That.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because he died in prison. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he did.
But he left a legacy, which is what it's all about, that people, no matter what happens to them in the end, like that's what drove me to write a book about my dad, because his legacy lives on now in this book. And some people, in fact, the ego-minded people in his life didn't even want me to write the book. And the people with the big ego wanted to get all the attention. We were talking about egos a minute ago, and that book is now alive anyway, and the ego's dead. And that, so it's like, it's interesting that you say that about him, Wilhelm being in jail, and the suppressed energy. Let's talk about that for a minute, Shauna. The suppressed energy that you just mentioned, how powerful that is, really, when you think about it, it doesn't stay suppressed.
No, it comes out in other ways, or it destroys your system in other ways without it having some type of positive reinforcement or outlet or guidance. I mean, look at people now with mental health. You know, that's basically a type of energy that's building up. Even with children, I'm a teacher, and so I constantly see a lot of children with all of this energy, all of this emotion, all these feelings, and they don't know what to do with it. And just consistently suppressing that's toxic to our bodies. It changes everything. It changes our chemical makeup, and obviously how then we respond and what we put out into the world.
So this is a study in itself, I think, because that suppressed energy, what he called actually the libido in adults, right? When we were talking about relationships earlier, we were talking about the power of divorce, because a lot of times, even in a relationship, if there's no sex, for instance, so that energy gets suppressed. There's anger on in both partners, or one or the other. And if there's not a good, healthy sexual relationship, just like Wilhelm discovered with the orgonomy, is that how you pronounce it? And how he discovered
orgonomy.
These organites being very powerful to give out vibration. I'm getting a real download here about vibrations going out. Okay, so picture this. Okay, when we have suppressed energy in a relationship, because we were talking about the power of divorce earlier, and I was talking about how in my own relationship and my son's relationship, there was suppressed energy because the sexual the spiritual energy exchange. We call SEX on this show spiritual energy exchange. So when a couple is not having that healthy, vibrant spiritual energy exchange, the energy is being suppressed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just like the organite or the orgonomy or the whole philosophy of inorganic matter coming together with the resin and then creating this great vibration. Am I going crazy or is this like a vision I'm having?
No. That's a very good connection. That's a very good connection. That's absolutely correct. Because when you do have that energy between one another, it really is. That it's releasing such a powerful energy. And that's like what you're saying, that organic material collecting and then releasing an energy. That's essentially the same concept.
So we've got a lot of enemies in the way of, like, people think 5G, EMF. We've got a lot of, let's just call it opposing energy to the human vessel. Or how would you describe the competition we have right now with our human energy flowing in this liquid crystal, which I talked about, and the technology that's being developed with 5G and EMF? Describe for us in your understanding with organizing and all that, how do we balance all this, and how would you describe this battle we're all having with this technology?
I would definitely say it's a challenging battle. It's a consistent thing to face. It's everywhere. I mean, if you live in a populated society, obviously it's going to be everywhere around you. Wherever you go, there's going to be a phone, there's going to be a computer, everyone's got one. I'm talking on one right now, held up to my ear, and obviously there's these radio waves and frequencies and all of these things consistently moving around us. And I would say it really is a constant battle to fight that. And it goes beyond that, because if you look further into just the processing of the foods and everything around us, it just seems that we're kind of surrounding ourselves with toxic energies and things that we do digest. And to consistently combat that is something that we need to really be consciously aware of on a daily basis.
So what is your spiritual journey been like with all this beautiful knowledge you have and experience? What's your spiritual journey like? Because I'm feeling like we don't have to be afraid of all this opposing energy if we are consciously aware of things like organites and the vibrations and the organic versus inorganic. What's it been like for you to blend your spiritual journey with what you do in the way of organized?
Right. I think that as long as you're aware of it, like you said, that's a really good point to make. Once you're aware of it, a lot of people aren't aware of what their energy is coming from. So they might feel down, lethargic, sad, mad, or whatever, and not be aware of why. Once you become aware, like maybe this person is just giving off a bad energy, or maybe you slept with your cell phone right next to your head last night, or once you become aware of kind of what really is impeding your energy, what really is affecting your energy, I think it makes it easier. Like grounding for me is one of my favorite things to do. Just go outside, stand there with my feet on the ground and look either at the moon or the sun. And that is really something that's simple, right? You don't even need an organite device for that. But you can really
right.
feel the energy just coming through in a positive sense and clearing away that energy that might have been from the Wi-Fi or the neighbor or the boss, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So grounding, in fact, that's one of the first things that I listed in a list of 10 things to increase the power or the health of your terrain, your environment on the inside. So what are some of the other things that you would say, what do you do to balance all this opposing energy, if you will, in our technology?
I think meditation is powerful. I think meditation is extremely powerful. There's different ways of meditating, which is really good because obviously everybody has different schedules. Everyone has different, some are more sensitive to light, sound, taste. So there's different ways to meditate, and I think that everyone can find something that they can use to help their meditation. So personally, like every night before I go to bed, I will meditate in bed. And the way I do it is I go from like my toes. I envision there is like a little glowing ball around my toes and it starts to tingle. And then you work that little glowing ball up and you're just really activating the nerves and the senses and the energy in each portion of your body, right? You can also meditate using sound, where you close your eyes and you really try to listen and dive into every sound you hear, whether it's the bird outside, a dripping water or wind, whatever it is, and you identify what that sound is, you know? Or taste is another one that I like to do with kids. As you're peeling an orange, like listen to the sound, smell the orange, and then taste. It's like a party for all the senses. So I think meditation is really something that would help really combat a lot of the negative frequencies around us too.
So I'm curious about your religious upbringing, because a lot of people look at stones and crystals as New Age. And so have you had a lot of, well, first of all, what was your religious upbringing and how did you transfer into spiritual beliefs and truth about crystals and the earth? And because I know a lot of people look at what we're talking about as New Age. So how have you dealt with that?
So I didn't have a very specific religious upbringing. I grew up, it was me, my brother, and my mom. And my mom worked a lot of jobs, so I stayed at my friend's house a lot. So I would go to various churches of different beliefs. So I started doing my own research quite a bit and kind of learning as much as I could about various religions. So I don't have one specifically where I say that I am. However, I do love a lot of things that various religions support and believe in, but I do not have a specific religion.
Great. Good for you, because it's not part of the cosmic truth. It's like,
I
started out in a Methodist church as a child. My uncle was at a Holy Ghost Baptist church, so we went there. And then we went to various Baptist churches. And then I went into... I never got to the Catholic one, though. I really just stayed away from that. So, and then I was in just about every denomination, Hebrew, Israelites, and now nature is my church. There is nothing like going out and just looking at trees and plants and birds and see. And you realize that the Creator, who I call Yahuwah, is everything around us, everything around. And yet, and then there's a scripture that says, I do not dwell in the buildings made by man. That, when I saw that scripture, whoa, did that help change my perspective on a lot of things. I do not dwell in the buildings made by man. Because especially in religions like Catholicism, that's where they go to connect with the Creator. But that's not a truth from even the Bible, if we really hone in on that. So what are you teaching your children? How old are your children?
So our kids are 10, 12, 14, 16, and 16. We implore them to look into things on their own. We implore them to investigate, explore, research, you know, just keep asking questions, essentially, is what we encourage.
Okay.
While also listening to your feelings.
And do what?
While also listening to your feelings. Like for me personally, I feel most connected to everything when I'm in water, like when I'm floating. Like water for me is almost probably what a lot of people feel like when they go to church. You know, that just overwhelming feeling of just peace, tranquility, however you would describe it.
Oh, I'm so glad you said, you know, when my granddaughter and I went to the beach for the first time, usually my son and his two kids and I go to the beach together. And I had this moment with my granddaughter. She was enjoying the waves. That's what they do. They don't go too far out. But she was enjoying the waves. And she looked up at me and said, I feel so alive. And I thought, oh, my, this is a six-year-old. This is a six-year-old. And that just brought me such joy.
And we can learn so much from that.
Oh, yeah. And it reminded me of what you just said. There's something about being in water that gives us a life, that helps us be. It resonates with the liquid water, the liquid crystal within us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we feel
it really does.
The And we feel the vibration of the water outside of us and in us, and that's why she could even recognize at 6 years old how she felt so alive. So I'm just believing the rest of her life, she'll be seven in June, and, you know, they say from birth to seven, those are the years that shape their adult life. And I'm just so excited about her remembering moments like the water experience, making her feel alive, that she won't need mm-hmm. to do any drugs or get addicted to anything but being in the water.
Right.
So
we have a
caller.
It really is healing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Would you like to take a call from one of our listeners?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. We want to see, see who has a question here. 336-350, I think that's our Mama AZ from Arizona. Go ahead, Mama AZ, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, and greetings to your guest. And Dr. V, you never cease to amaze me with the connection. I truly believe that someone from the Pleiades has hooked up to your thought wave because of things that you have been talking about and so on and so on. Anyway, I just give thanks. What is your guest name?
Shauna.
My name is Shauna.
Go ahead.
Your name is Shauna?
Yes, ma'am.
That's interesting. Celestine Prophecy Family, my case manager, her name is Shauna Ripple. And the nurse here, I'm serious, the nurse here has five children. And kidding you, I'm taking notes. I'm paying attention to everything. Let me get to the point. The ingredients, the stones that you work with and the organite, does it communicate with you? Do they communicate with you mentally, the materials? Do they talk to you and tell you where they want to be positioned and how and this, that, and the other? I'm curious because I'll tell you why.
And I want to absolutely say yes. And it's not even like in a language that is clear or anything. It's in almost a thoughtless language where you feel as though you know what you're doing without even trying to know what you're doing.
Get out of here. That is it. Yes.
I'm not surprised.
Yes. And do you work with ordinary, like say for instance, you're roaming and you're going down the street and then something says turn around and go the other way. And you follow that. And there's that big stone or whatever that's there that's waiting for you. Do you work with stones on that level?
Sometimes, especially when we're with our children, we'll try and do that. I do not like to pick up stones that are just in the neighborhood. I feel like they should just stay where they are unless one of my children decide to pick it up. We do, however, explore with everything. Sometimes I'll just pick up random leaves. I'll sit by a tree or a bush, just whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Just go, me and our family, we talk about that often. Wow, if we didn't turn here, we wouldn't have seen this, or we wouldn't have been here to help with this. It's kind of exciting and mysterious when you do listen to that intuition that speaks to you.
Of course. Well, something happened. I had to go and take a sonogram, and that's another story. Well, it was in divine order, but it wasn't the right testing. And what I figured out from my talking tree outside the window and some of my medicine stones that are here present, they were at my apartment next door. I'm in a facility, rehab, nursing home, whatever. And someone had gifted me some healing stones. And those stones says, don't put us out. You got to wait. And the stones at my apartment next door were telling me, you got to come and get us. And nobody could, I couldn't get anybody to come. And I said, well, if you want to come over here, you got to figure out a way to get from my apartment to over here. I swear to God, family, wouldn't you know, the nurses came, Harris, you have an appointment for a sonogram. And the guy that was taking me in the van, he happened to work for those apartments, Truly Nolan Exterminator, that I live in. So he was my driver. He took me to get the sonogram. He was kind enough to stop by my apartment, and he went and got those healing stones. And I started not to go to that sonogram thing because I was hurting so bad. And somebody came and said, Paris, I think you better go. It's a reason. And I'm like, what? I had to get those stones. Those stones communicated to the driver, communicated to the medical people, and set up that appointment for me to go and get those stones. I swear to God, this is a mm-hmm. true story, family. Mm-hmm. And I have a talking tree out here that outside my window that told me, you're not crazy. That is, we hooked all of this up because of why you were there in that particular spot. Something is getting
no,
ready.
No, I don't think you're crazy at all.
Yes, and I
don't
just
want
to know. Thank you. I want to know. Call me. I want to know about your organite and get one for my altar. And I won't say all of that over the line. But Shauna, this is off the freaking
yes,
chain. And thank us. Well, I'll be quiet. I'll be quiet.
No,
and
thank
just,
you so much for sharing.
Yes, it is so huge. There's a lot more to it than just that. But time is, I think there's a break coming up. But I appreciate you giving me this confirmation, Dr. V. And you better get James Redfield on the show. Please.
Well, you know James Redfield.
Thank you. Thank you, Shauna.
James
thank
Redfield,
you. I really enjoyed your story.
Yes. Oh, and one other thing, Dr. V, if you don't mind, we got to figure out what our issues are with the right hip. If anybody out there is listening and they are someone, you are someone who does regression, I really would love to do that to see why I have this issue with my right hip like this. I was told that I was in the Civil War, which I did find someone in Pennsylvania at the gravesite, the resting spot, born on my day, the day that I came to the planet on July 1st, and he was a cavalryman. And I don't know what happened, but somebody told me I got stabbed with a sword in this right hip. I don't know, but I want to be regressed to see what I have, why I have this issue. There's something to it. Thank us. Thank us.
Okay, Shauna, did you have any comment after that?
No, that's really interesting. That's actually something that we've been looking into before, you know, like past lives, previous lives, how they're all connected. Because, I mean, energy is never created, right? It's just transformed. It's just changed. So the energy that's here is always here. What is it
yeah,
turning into
absolutely.
Now? Where is it moving on to now? So that's an interesting point that she brought that up.
Okay, we're going to take a break. My executive producer is got her computer working, so we're going to take a little break. When we come back, we want to continue talking to Shauna about this energy of organic, inorganic materials that makes up this beautiful organite that she produces, and we're going to get her information to contact her where you can get some of these beautiful
pieces of work and talk about frequencies when we come back. I want to really talk about the frequencies that people are worried about and what Shauna suggests in her organite material that can help people have peace about the frequencies around them. So Naima Latif is going to pay our commercials, and we'll be right back. Mother's Day special. Okay. Okay. So Naima Latif is going to...
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement.
Yeah.
Covenant Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries
to
achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war.
What did you say again? Shauna, did you say
we're
something?
We're almost home, and I got...
Okay, we'll be right back.
Okay.
And be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of our cells, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self-care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
And we are back, and thank you so much for joining me this evening on my Facebook friends and my Blog Talk Radio friends and listeners. Thank you. And don't forget, tomorrow morning, Zelda is going to have a Mother's Day special from Community Cultivations on Monday Morning Mindfulness. So thank you, Zelda, and thank you, Jody, for tuning in and asking some really thoughtful, thought-provoking questions here on our energy of divorce and freeing ourselves from certain things. So, Shauna, that's amazing that Shauna is the name of Mama AC's therapist. So we've got some real synchronicity going here this evening. So Shauna is with us. Shauna Jackson, who is in Orlando. You're in Orlando, right?
Yes, ma'am.
She lives in Orlando with her partner and their five awesome children. And Shauna has been really educating us about the power of resin, organic compounds that absorb negative energy, and metal and inner granite vibrations that protect us from all these technological frequencies that have been created. So, Shauna, the question I have for you, oh, and we have a caller. Let me ask you first, what would you recommend to people who want to protect themselves from the 5G and all the EMF? Do you ever recommend certain crystals or certain organized? What's your belief or your recommendation for that type of concern?
So any organite will help protect you. As long as it is composed of at least half metal, and that can be copper, aluminum, that could be any metal, essentially, and the resin materials. And then the crystal is really helps it focus that positive energy coming out, focus that intention that is then going to be coming outwards of the organite. One of the most protective crystals against those EMF and other negative frequencies is something called shungite. It's a black crystal. People also use it to help charge water that they drink because, as you know, water is a huge part of who we are and what the earth is made of. So charging your water and just clearing that energy before you consume it is something that's helpful. I know that's kind of off topic with the organite, but shungite's a very powerful crystal. Obviously, quartz is phenomenal. I put quartz in every single organite I make. Selenite is another one. The selenite has a frequency that vibrates at such a high level that it actually cleanses other crystals in the process. So since organite is a device that is consistently working, constantly this wonderful device that's absorbing this negative energy, putting out this positive energy, having something in there like selenite is phenomenal because it will help continuously cleanse those crystals and provide this positive energy and frequency that will be released.
So is shungite the only crystal you can charge your water with, or can you use any crystal?
So not any crystal. Shungite's just one of the common ones specific to EMF and radiation that is that strong. You can use quartz. You can use amethyst. Definitely before you put crystals in your water, make sure that you do clean them because the dust is harmful to us. So if you do not clean your crystals before putting them into your water, you will ingest that dust. But as you know, crystals do have different hardness levels. So always research your crystals before putting it in water. Some you cannot cleanse with water at all. But I would say the top three would be quartz, amethyst, and shungite for water charging.
And
but you can also use charging trays.
What's that again?
Oh, sorry. I was saying you can also do charging trays where it's almost like a cup holder or a larger tray where you can set your glass of water on it. So the crystal's not actually touching the water. More so it's charging from underneath. So it's creating those frequencies and those vibrations from underneath the water.
Now, how do you clean the crystals? Just soap, water, or how? I know some people recommend you put them in the sun for a period of time. How do you do that?
Yeah, so you can cleanse your crystals a variety of ways. You can cleanse them with alkaline water, again, if that crystal is able to get wet like that. You can cleanse it with solar energy. You can also cleanse it with lunar energy. Grounding is also helpful. Just always research a crystal first before I would say doing anything that requires water.
Okay, so Jody is asking, she says quartz, amethyst, and shungite are used for what? I missed that. Okay, she was saying quartz, amethyst, and shungite are the crystals that you can use to charge your water. You put them in the water that you're drinking, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. And you can keep refilling, or you can keep that crystal in the water and just keep refilling it, right?
Yes, ma'am. And you do want to make sure, because crystals do absorb that negative energy. They are absorbing these frequencies. So you need to make sure every full moon or during the day or however you cleanse your crystals, whether it's with the alkaline water, the sun, or the moon, that you do that periodically, because what you don't want to do is just consistently use this crystal that's now become this stagnant source because it's built up so much negative energy. So you do want to make sure that you cleanse it on occasion. Like, we do create what we call a spritz, a cleansing spritz, and it's alkaline water, essential oils, and then your crystals. We make it with quartz and amethyst. And we tell everyone you can reuse them as long as before you refill it, you cleanse your crystals before you start your next batch.
Okay. We got a couple of callers. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you so much. That shungite works. I've been doing that for like almost 22 years. While I was in North Carolina, I got a piece of shungite from Seven Arts, then wife. Anyhow, it's wise to put it in a glass jar, you know, or glass. I think that's my opinion. And when you get your water in plastic, switch it over to glass bottles the moment you get it in the house, if you can't do it any other way. But I want to ask, my teacher gave me a major piece of shungite when she went to Vegas just a week ago. How do I cleanse that? It's on my altar right now. So I want to put it in my big glass jar with the pH water. Is that okay? How should I proceed to cleanse this new shungite?
So is it a rough shungite? Because shungite initially is very chalk, black dust. So you want to make sure that is really wiped off well before you put it into your water.
Okay.
So I would definitely wipe off any loose material, and then I would cleanse it maybe tomorrow during the day, put it out on the ground, let the sunlight shine on it. If you have selenite's another really great crystal that does help cleanse the energy of other crystals.
Mm-hmm. I'll get somebody to go and get my selenite. I got that at my altar at my apartment. So, okay, thank you for telling me that. So one other thing about sea salt, I've always cleansed my crystals with sea salt. Tell me what you think about that.
That's very interesting. I mean, it's an organic compound. I can see how that would be helpful. I've never done that. I'm definitely going to be looking into that.
Okay, let me know what you think. Thank you.
One of the most important things, though, is after you are done cleansing the crystal that you put your intention into it, right? So before you do use it into your glass jar, and I completely agree with you regarding glass as well.
Okay, well, I post a sign.
Every time you cleanse it.
Okay. Those little sticker name signs, put them on your jar, family. Write your intentions down and paste them on your glass jar with your water. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. V.
All right. Thank you. We're going to go to, 856-429. The mic is open. Give us your name, please, where you're calling from.
Rosemaria from New Jersey.
Hi, Rosemaria from New Jersey. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Do you have a question, comment for our guest?
Well, I know I'm an intuitive. I've been getting messages left and right. And I'm like confused, so I'm not sure which way I'm going with a relationship or moving. So I'm like on a, how do you say, on a fence, I guess. So I'm not sure which way I'm going. Give a little guidance or who's coming in for me, if that makes sense.
Okay, I'm not sure about what your question is. Can you rephrase it? Or
Who's coming in for relationship or business partner? Either one.
Who's coming in for a relationship or business partner?
Yes. I know that both in one.
You're looking for a reading of some kind?
Or healing or whatever. Because right now I'm like on the flip side, if that makes sense.
I'm not sure if you're confused about what we're doing here, but Shauna, do you have anything for her?
No, I would definitely say, as far as that goes, I think that from personal advice, whenever I've had similar questions in my mind, meditation is really, really helpful for that. So if you're unsure or unclear when you go to bed tonight, make sure that that's what you need an answer to. You know, ask the universe as though you're asking Alexa, right? Ask them that question clearly. You know, you can state it out loud. You can recite that question repeatedly in your head and meditate on that. And then when you wake up, see how you feel.
Yeah, and I would just add, spend more time in nature. Questions you're looking to answer, have answered or solutions, I find at this stage in my life that spending time in nature and watch for signs from animals like birds, like when you have cardinals show up and you've never seen a cardinal, for instance, or we have a woodpecker that shows up where I live. And every time I hear the woodpecker, as we were talking about last week on the show, it's a sign for a new rhythm. So look for signs when you're out in nature. Go out to the park. Just get out in nature more, and you'll get answers in so many ways you'll be surprised. So let me go to the next caller, 773-221. Your mic is open. Check your mute button. Do you have a comment or question for our guest?
Yes, I would say that to me it's all spiritual warfare. My truth is that our intentionality has to have an objective in the real world that is bent on the salvation of souls, S-O-U-L-S. And Satan is constantly intent on thwarting that divine purpose of the salvation of human and other sentient beings' souls. And the biggest thing that Satan is doing is distracting us from what will effectively offset his diabolical machinations to steal people's souls. And beauty is said to be a virtue, and I contend that aesthetic or artistic appreciation is not subjective. And so the energy of intention, I think, is absolute. And I think the energy of intention, which is part and parcel of this orgasmic energy that you were alluding to, is at the heart of, you know, why everything happens the way that it does through human instrumentality.
Okay. Did you have any question for Shauna?
What is Shauna's contact information or website that I can check out what Shauna is doing?
Okay, great. Shauna, let's give our audience ways that they can contact you and whatever information you want to give at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So our Instagram is Do It Vegan, D-I-V. So again, that's Do It Vegan, D-I-V. That's our Instagram. Our email is also doitvegan.div@gmail.com. And that's probably going to be the two best ways to reach us right now. I really appreciate all of the information that you just shared regarding the importance of, you know, the intention and with it being absolute. That's some really great information and insight.
Yeah, because you are sharing with us, even with the crystals, washing the crystals, cleaning the crystals, making sure the crystal is ready to be placed in water for you to, charge your water, that there is intention involved in that. And I think, just as you said, organized need to be created even with an intention, right? So how would you advise people who might want to take on this craft of creating their organized, how would you advise them on how to set the right intention for the organized?
Well, we are actually going to be having a class regarding that on May 8th. It's called Resin and Roll. If you are in the Orlando area, where I actually guide you through how to create your own resin art. And then we are also a CBD, a homegrown CBD nursery, so it's resin and roll. So we are going to resin, and then after we do our creation, we are going to roll as well. Also, one of the most key things I would say when you are creating, make sure that you are in the right mindset. So, like, I'm hesitant with telling people to buy mass-produced organite because you don't know, first of all, where they came from, if anything in it is real, because there's also this big kick now where a lot of people are making fake crystals. So they're using resin to make what appears to be crystals. So just make sure if you are taking this venture on that you are buying real materials so that it provides the actual effect that you are trying to create. If not, again, it's just a beautifully aesthetic, pleasing piece of art.
Okay, so I got to tell you what happened to me when I was creating my first resin. There were bees everywhere, okay? So maybe you can interpret this for me, because I didn't know what was going on. These bees were everywhere, so a bee got in my resin. And, of course, he died. And I said, okay,
right.
I'm not going to start over with this. I'm just going to create this resin with a bee in it. So do you have any idea what the significance? So I had a resin. I don't know where it is. I may have given it away because I was really so excited when I finally completed it and the resin didn't have a hole in it or something. And I said, oh, a bee.
Right.
That's got to be significant. What do you think that significance of that would be, having bee? I had more than one that died in there, too, because it was like they were attracted to it, Shauna. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to keep going because this resin is too expensive. What does that mean?
Oh, my goodness.
Please tell me.
Well, I can't tell you for sure what it means, but maybe it may be your mindset. Maybe the intention that you were putting at that time and the materials that you were using was something, maybe a frequency that was attractive to the bees near you. That's not the only thing I could think of. I definitely.
So that's a good thing that I have bees in my organite.
It's probably not the best case scenario to have anything living in there because, you know, it is going to not decompose a little bit. But that's interesting. Yeah, I always try to not. If you're going to do organite outside, make sure that you are in an enclosed. Ventilated, but maybe screen enclosure, because you will get, you know, some natural things falling in there, and with how sticky it is, it that's funny.
I've
never heard
of
that.
I looked at it as the bee was a sacrifice for me, because it was instant death, and they didn't. It's not like that. I would have thought they would have been flying around and smelled how strong it was, and they would, oh no, we don't want this. It's like they died right in there. And they died.
Oh man, I mean, maybe. Maybe. We don't know. Maybe the universe is like, oh, she needs this right now. Let's send it. You never know.
Yeah. I had so much fun with that, though, and I really want to get into it again. And so I have to, I'm going to have to, May 8th is your class? So what day is that?
It is a Saturday. The day
okay,
before Mother's Day, actually.
Oh, okay. So I might be able to make that. You're going
yep.
to have to send me, can you text me information on that? Or is it
yeah,
is it
absolutely.
Live?
I'll definitely send over the information. We do. It is limited seating. We still have tickets available. So May 8th from 5 to 8, and after the resident role event, there is going to be a drum circle. So it's a great, just wonderful feeling, good energy and vibes all around that day. And it's at Pink Art Studio or Art Bar.
Where is it again?
It's at Pinka, P-I-N-K-A, Art Bar.
Art Farm. Art Farm?
Art Bar or Art Studio.
Okay, and that's in Orlando.
Is it Orlando or Mesa? Apopka.
Oh, Apopka. That's even better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, just north of Orlando.
Okay. Are you doing any live stream on that?
You know, we are thinking about it. We're probably going to do a little bit of live stream beforehand on our Do It Vegan DIV Instagram. Just kind of showcasing how we're going to guide you through. There is going to be a guided meditation before we begin the resin process. As we've mentioned, the intention is really important. So guided meditation to just remove any negative thoughts, negative energy, focus on the positive is going to be how we start the evening.
Okay, I've got one more caller who just pressed one. Pinka Art, yes, HLN. Who just pressed one, I'm going to open up their mic, but I'll let them know you only have about 30 seconds maybe. 779-777, you got about 30 seconds to give a comment
oh, okay.
or ask a question of Shauna.
Well, can you hear me? So, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, it's Kobe James from Chicago. I appreciate you, sister, that we are now using our elements to activate our energy. Not saying we use elements, so I appreciate what you're doing. I would love to. That sister who is looking for a mate, Sammy Bendis, take my number down, 777-8183, because this is what it's all about.
Okay.
We are alone. Sometimes we are alone in the journey, and we just share. But I was told that you water under my bed called my ancestors.
Okay. Well, Koofy, thank you. Koofy's number, if you're still on, I don't think her number, I don't see her number, but 779-777-8183, that's Koofy's number for the caller who was wondering about her business partner or her mate. Koofy is just offering his number. Thank you. Okay, we are at the end of the show.
60 seconds.
So, Shauna, I'll be in touch. Thank you so much for sharing. Jody says, great show tonight. Thank you for the great information. Zelda, her website. She doesn't have a website. Or do you have a website? But she's just giving out her Instagram. And you don't. Do you have a website?
We have a website. It features our organic body care line. Our resin, organite, and things are not on our website at this time. We have not been shipping any of our organite. It's been more of a personal process than it has been an online process. So we've been meeting people like that. So you can go to justdoitvegan.com, which is our website. But again, it does not feature any of our organite.
Okay, but she's on Instagram, Zelda. Do It Vegan, D-I-V, is that right?
Do It Vegan.
/
that is
the
right.
Dash female D-I-V. Dash solution. You can also hear
okay.
today's show on the Female Solution
okay,
Facebook
well,
page.
Thank you again,
go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution.
I'll be in touch. Okay,
leave your comments about
okay,
today's
you.
Show.
Have a great evening, and we're going to play our farewell greeting. We have people calling in, but we're at the end of the show.
If you want to hold on.
Listen to our radio show.
Let's see.
Order our book. And be sure.
Yeah,
yeah, and if they have any questions, I would love, if you guys have any questions, feel free to email at doitvegandiv@gmail.com or reach out to our Instagram, doitvegandiv, and we will definitely get back to you as soon as we can there as well. I love the opportunity. Thank you so much for inviting me onto the show. It was incredible.
Thank you. We'll be in touch. We're looking to develop a friendship connection with you in Orlando. We'll see you there.
Yes. All right. See you soon.
Or
good night.
Apopka. We'll see you in Apopka. Good night.
Okay. Poland. John Kinyong.
Okay. France. We're at John Kinyong.
Merci.
Merci, France.
Gracias.
Gracias.
Grazie.
Grazie.
Shukran.
Shukran.
Madasi. Nigeria. Eshe. South
Eshe.
Africa. Nyabonga.
Nyabonga.
Senegal. Geret.
Geret.
Kenya.
Asante.
Israel. Toda. Pakistan. Shukriya. Afghanistan. Tashakur. Saudi Arabia. Shukran.
Shukran.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Hello. Love you all. Have a great week.
Could you imagine?
If not impossible. We have undercover footage of the World Health Organization in their private forum talking about how the confidence level among the physician community worldwide is decreasing. The WHO is trying to develop a strategy campaign. When you have a marketing strategy to convince the health professionals, those who have been appointed to safeguard our health, you know that there's something that doesn't smell right. The Centers for Disease Control's own data shows that 1% of the population of the planet currently has autism. The current world's population is 7.7 billion. 1% of that is 77 million. According to the CDC's own data, 77 million children and young adults have autism on our planet right now. In 29 years to go from 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 30, there's something wrong. look at polio, and then look at the incidence of DDT. Now, most...
What the mercy of God can do. If you knew me then, you'd believe me now. You turned my whole life upside down. With the old hand he made in
that's just what the mercy of God can do. How I've learned to tell the story, how I've overcome the mercy and the power of the blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done. And mercy, the power of the blood. So much power in the blood.
Oh. Good day, love. People Mason here. And as you saw the title, The Rat, and I said I probably will lose some followers today, but I'm okay with that because I believe this is something that definitely has to be discussed. And I just got home feeling some sort of way behind what just happened. And like I said, I'm probably going to lose some followers behind this, but somebody has to say it. Now, let me give the disclaimer. What I'm getting ready to say is not for women with medical conditions or alopecia. This is strictly for women who, in my opinion, have fallen into the system of what has been constantly being created and pushed our way for so long. And I didn't lose it per se, but I had to have something to say. So here's the thing. I just came from getting my hair done. And you all know I've been wearing my hair short for a while. I'm 45 years old. So when I turned either 39 or 40, I cut my hair. My hair was about maybe right in here, right?
You want to know your greatest strength?
Where's Tom? Good looks. Critics are reading about Tom Clancy without remorse.
Well, wearing a short hairstyle, I wouldn't think that I would get this so much, but it took me to a deeper issue. But I'm sitting there, and my stylist is finishing my hair. Someone else comes in and is like, oh, girl, your hair is so beautiful. It looks like a 2070s. And y'all, if you've been following me for a while, you know that just drives me up the wall. And I said, that's not a compliment. This is the first time I actually verbally said this and had a dialogue with someone on why what she said to me was not a compliment. So my stylist is like, well, because my stylist wears her hair very similar to mine. And so the lady said, "What? That's a compliment." I said, that is not a compliment. What you're saying is my hair looks so good, it looks fake. What you're not understanding is, and let me give you my backstory for those of you that may not know. I have been an author and speaker for probably going on 15 years now. Speaker part probably about 15 years. I wrote my first book 11 years ago. And I've traveled, spoken all over the place. And I often go into schools, junior highs and high schools. And prior to the pandemic, I was making some appearances free of charge, just going to talk to the young women about what it means to be a lady and personal hygiene and things of that nature. The saddest thing that I would get everywhere I went, no matter what state I was in, is that our young girls think that in order to be beautiful, you have to be fake. So as I'm explaining this to the lady today, I said, I understand. Everybody says, well, I can do what I want to do with my hair. I get to do what I want to do with my hair. And you're absolutely correct. But my issue is, why is it that whatever you want to do with your hair is not doing it with your own hair? I said, now, as a grown woman, yes, you do whatever you want to do. I'm not here to tell you nothing. I know how black women get about that weave and all that. I get it. But the disappointment is, instead of walking up to another woman and saying, hey, sis, your hair is beautiful. Your eyelashes are gorgeous. you automatically think it's fake. Today, I couldn't take it no more. And so my stylist was like, she got quiet. But then she says, I'm leaning toward April because she intentionally wears.
I'd love to invite you to watch a documentary completely for free.
Are you 65 or older and have gotten both doses of either your Moderna or Pfizer COVID vaccine? Well, if you are, you are in luck. That is right. I got some good news for you. Now, of course, good news for you essentially means good news for the rest of us, guys. You're going to want to hear this really, really good news for those 65 and older who've been fully vaccinated. Guys, I'm Dr. Jen Caudill. It's good to see you. I'm a practicing family doc and an on-air health expert. So I'm glad that you're here. Okay, so let's just jump into the news. Super, super excited about this. The CDC recently reported that those over 65 and above who've gotten both doses of either the Pfizer or the Moderna vaccine and are fully vaccinated, of course, it means after 2 weeks after the second dose, you guys are in luck. That means, of course, we're all in luck. Really, really, really great news. And by the way, this is personal to me, too, because, you know, my parents, you saw the video of them getting the vaccine. They are over the age of 70. So the results show that fully vaccinated people ages 65 or older are 94% less likely to be hospitalized. Do you know?
Yes, you are.
Get up here, but I don't exactly know where we are. Hey, hey, Tiger King, Crimson Tiger King, where are we?
The Mongeon Ram.
Is that Chinese?
It's really hard to choose a worst clip of Kamala Harris. It really is. Kamala Harris is the most loathsome, lecherous, goblin-like politician I have ever seen. She laughs and giggles and, like, cackles for no reason, like, in a way that makes Hillary Clinton jealous, in a way that makes Hillary Clinton say, wow, maybe I could cackle more. Maybe I have not been the master of the cackle. Hillary Clinton's cackle, the worst Harris is unliked by anyone. Nobody likes her. Her own state didn't vote for her in the Democratic primary for president. Kamala Harris ran for president, dropped out, didn't get a single vote, and has been absolutely cataclysmically cringe-inducing on the campaign trail ever since Joe Biden was forced to select her as his vice president. Now, what I'm about to show you is the worst clip I've seen of Kamala ever. And here's why. It's not because of her horrendous cackle, which is really, really bad. And she cackles through this entire clip. It's because of what she's talking about. Oftentimes she cackles because she has a nervous tic. So Kamala has this nervous tic where in serious moments or where she doesn't know what to do, she like opens her mouth and just cackles in the face of whoever she's talking to. Ah! She like just like creepily cackles. It's not a real laugh. It's a fake laugh. And she just does it like Hillary Clinton does it because their souls have been sucked out of them. And they've done everything in their lives to attain power. And now it's just Kamala Harris cackling because she's nervous and doesn't know what to say. In an instance here, the clip I'm about to show you, she's talking about parents who have not been able to send their children to school. Parents who do not have the ability to send their children to school because they don't have the money to afford child care. And she's like laughing through it as though this is a funny topic. I'm a parent. What you have done and your administration has done to children is the most wicked thing I've ever seen the government do to its people in modern history in America. Leaving these kids out of school has crippled their future, crippled what they could accomplish. And Kamala Harris wickedly laughing about it is just ghoulish. Watch this clip and be disgusted. I certainly am.
Yeah, affordable child care is a big deal. Parents are seeing the value of educators when they had to and say, we're not paying them nearly enough.
Away from you. First, huh? Looking for his papa, that 10-pointer.
seen this. Usually they only do this during the rough season. We're going to guard everybody here. Bye. Gotcha. Okay, you can hit the van. I'd rather do that any day. Listen, look at who he is angry. We're going to charge the van. You want to charge the van. Yeah, you want to charge the van now. And metal. I tell you to go by now. Let me pull up here. And I'll keep him from you guys pass. Yeah, this way you don't get a horn in there. Go ahead. That is a good shot, though. There he goes.
There
he goes. Oh! All right, it's off the river. Get some shots of that. There you go.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Let me pull up there, Bass, and get a little bit too. This viewing right here. You'll never see him.
Ronald Reagan.
It's the greatest moment in the history of the Dan Bongino Show. I know, my standards may be low. I'm sorry. You know I love economics. It's my passion. There is nothing I like more than proving a point through liberals who think they're proving the opposite point. There's no trickle-down that way.
Here was Joe Biden during his joint address. It's not a State of the Union. Joint address. Where he, again, promotes the trickle-down hoax. Check this out.
My fellow Americans, trickle-down. Trickle-down economics has never worked. It's time to grow the economy from the bottom and the middle out.
Trickle-down. There we go again. Now, I know many of you listening, some of you know I beat these things to death like I used to beat to death the infamous Clinton surplus that never happened. The Clinton surplus principle is no such thing. Remember that? You have to be an older listener. I used to discuss it all. Things drives me crazy. It's just not true. There's no Clinton surplus. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm bringing this up again because it really...
Thank you.
will get attention this time. And then we're taking things that are, you know, genetically modified organisms, and we're injecting them in little kids' arms. We just shoot them right into the vein. We meet with scientists. We see a lot of things that are going very well, things like reducing childhood death. And you don't have a choice. People act like you have a choice. Normalcy only returns when we largely vaccinated the entire global population.
Robert Kennedy Jr. was advising him that vaccines were causing bad things, and I said, no, that's a dead end.
A shocking new report from the New York Times sheds light on the connection between Microsoft founder Bill Gates and the late Jeffrey Epstein.
Not only does he have the world's largest charitable foundation, but one of their primary missions is to help young women in underprivileged countries. Jeffrey Epstein was preying on young women from Eastern Europe, from South Africa, luring them into his web. It's the antithesis of what the Gates Foundation stands for. And by the way, there were Gates Foundation employees who were horrified when they realized what Jeffrey Epstein had done and was saying, we don't want to have anything to do with this, and yet the project went on.
Eventually, what we'll have to have is certificates of who's a recovered person, who's a vaccinated person, because you don't want people moving around the world where you'll have some countries that won't have it under control, sadly. You don't want to completely block off the ability for those, you know, people to go there and come back and move around, people to go there and come back and move around. So eventually there will be sort of this digital immunity proof that, you know, will help facilitate the global reopening up.
One final way that's new and is promising is called the RNA vaccine. With RNA and DNA, instead of putting that shape in, you put instructions in the code to make that shape.
Everything that I'm about to mention is currently being developed by Bill Gates, often in partnership with the CV19 playbook, MIT, all of which is backed by the United Nations and the Rockefeller Foundation. Due to ongoing mutations with CV19, the CV vaccine currently being developed will alter our DNA through an actual synthesizing of our individual genetic code using mRNA and CRISPR technology, which acts as scissors by cutting DNA at a designated spot and removing or inserting a new sequence with an artificial code to make sure every man, woman, and child complies with the One World Order's mandatory implementations. Gates and MIT are currently developing the human implantable quantum dot microneedle vaccination delivery system. It's a tattoo for the hand, which will include our identification mark and vaccination records. It needs an enzyme called luciferase in order to make it work. The transhumanist agent on every person's hand will glow with the bioluminescence of the light bearer, a chip you cannot remove with a knife. This tracking system will alter your DNA, and it's permanent. 33rd degree Freemason and occultist Manly P. Hall once wrote, quote, the seething energies of Lucifer are in his hands.
22 goes to 33.
As we sort through this here in Arkansas, today we have 33 confirmed positive cases in Arkansas. As of today, we have 33 confirmed cases with Boston residents. We expect those numbers to climb.
As of this afternoon, we have 33 Pennsylvanians who have tested positive for COVID-19.
So as of this morning, there were 33 confirmed cases in North Carolina.
Good evening to you. Lots to get to tonight. I'm Leon Hendricks. We want to start with new information into our newsroom. Within the past couple of hours, there are now 33 confirmed cases of the coronavirus in Michigan. That is 33 new cases from just yesterday.
Good afternoon. I'm Karen Swenson. More cases and more events affected. Here is the latest coronavirus news. There are now 33 cases in Louisiana.
Have to prepare for the next one. That, you know, I'd say it will get attention this time. And then we're taking things that are, you know,
genetically modified organisms, and we're injecting them in little kids' arms. We just shoot them right into the vein. We meet with scientists. We see a lot of things that are going very well, things like producing childhood death. And but you don't have a choice. People act like you have a choice.
Constantly raising the bar for us all and doing it flawlessly. I was just thinking about you, and I wanted you to know personally that you are exactly where you need to be on this journey. So take a deep breath, okay? Relax. Extend yourself a little grace. I know that it can